Philadelphia City Council were sworn into office on Monday, and six belong to the freshman class of four Democrats and two Republicans. The departed represent more than a century of political experience, with former President Anna Verna having worked for the city in some capacity for six decades. The new president, Darrell Clark, promised to work with Mayor Michael Nutter, who handily won re-election in November. The city confronts some serious problems, ranging from a struggling economy and education to crime and a high rate of poverty. There are some bright spots, including a bustling center city. Well, today on Radio Times, we're going to talk about City Council's agenda, its relationship with Mayor Nutter, and some of these challenges facing the city. And we have two guests who have joined us here in our Philadelphia studio. Patrick Kirkstra is a Philadelphia-based freelance reporter. He's a guest columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He covers special projects for Plan Philly, and he's writer-at-large and blogger for Philadelphia Magazine. And Patrick Kirkstra, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
Tom McDonald's a familiar voice to listeners of WHYY. He's WHYY's government reporter. He covers Philadelphia City Hall, contributes to WHYY's NewsWorks website, and he's also a contributor to NewsWorks Tonight's nightly newscast at 6 o'clock. And Tom, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you for having me.
And to our listeners, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Tom, with six new members of City Council, are we witnessing the changing of a guard?
Well, when you look at it, you look at the experience that left, the people like Council President Verna, Joan Krajewski. I mean, the experience from the South Philadelphia angle with Frank DiCicco. It is a changing of the guard, but it's more like, will they all play nice together? You've got the young blood that all wants to come in and make their mark, and you've got the veterans who have been in, understand what can be done, what can't be done within city government. How are they going to mesh together on the playground? And that playground is room 400 City Hall, better known as the City Council Chambers.
What do you think, Patrick?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, I think it's absolutely a changing of the guard in terms of personality, in terms of experience. I think it's a little bit more of an open question whether or not it's going to be a changing of sort of the cultural guard or the way City Council does business. A lot of the folks who have taken office, you know, have extensive political relationships with some of the same people, that have relationships with those who've departed. So there's still the same power bases in the city, and there hasn't been a massive turnover in that sense.
And did the drop program, was that one reason why some of these people either didn't run for re-election or did not get elected, Patrick?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was the reason, arguably, that Councilman Frank Rizzo was not re-elected. It was the reason that, Councilman Frank DiCicco didn't run for re-election, and same for a couple of others.
Yeah. But Tom, I noticed that Councilwoman Marian Tasco, and you can explain this to our listeners probably better than I can.
She took the $400,000+, almost a half million dollars in drop money, retired last Friday, took the weekend off, had a nice retirement, came back to work on Monday, making her same salary. And if she stays for over 3 years, will continue to accrue vesting in the city pension plan. So it's the weekend drop that we call it, where she leaves, takes those days off, all legal.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, this is all legal.
There have been a number of city solicitor opinions that say this is legal without any problem. There is nothing wrong with it. The question is it moral? And that's where the numerous council members who left got caught up. Councilwoman Tasco just had a very, very strong position, and she had no problem being reelected.
What do you think, Patrick?
Well, I mean, I think that's right. I mean, Councilwoman Tasco is in a district where, short of possibly being indicted, she was going to get reelected. I mean, that was just going to happen. And so, she was free in a way that the others weren't to go ahead and take advantage of this.
And it's not that this practice hasn't been done for years. Councilwoman Krajewski took drop years ago, was reelected, came back, and other council members have done it over the years. But it's a progress and a process that changed because the media spotlight was baking it this year.
And the public seemed to be pretty unhappy about drop. I mean, especially I would think Tom, when it's applied to someone who's elected to office?
Well, that was the big thing. The elected officials got such a big number. I mean, some of the numbers were ridiculous. I mean, when you look at the numbers, but the people will tell you straight out, it's their money. They were entitled to it, and it's money that was taken from their salary and put into the pension plan. It's just their pension was frozen for 4 years, and that money accumulated, and it was given to them in a lump sum.
I think the other piece that really irritates voters is they like to think that they're the ones who decide when elected officials retire. You know, they'll vote them out of office.
And the idea of just retiring for a day and then coming back to work, I don't know, rankles, it seems to me.
Oh, I mean, it seems preposterous on its face. I mean,
especially this year when the days were weekend days.
Yeah, and average voters, you know, unaware of the complexities of the program and the arguments that the council makes kind of ad nauseum about why this is okay or has been okay. It just smacks of entitlement for average voters.
Well, let me put something else on the table. And Patrick, I'll start with you. Darrell Clark is the new president of City Council. How did he get this job?
It took a lot of work for him to get this job. It was a long year plus, really, of wrangling. You know, the leading candidates being himself and the aforementioned kind of drop poster child, Marion Tasco, with a late entry by Councilman Jim Kenney that flamed out. And it really sort of ended up as a battle between Clark and Clark's allies on council and Mayor Nutter, who was backing Councilwoman Tasco.
And some people behind the scenes, Tom?
Oh, a lot of people behind the scenes. I mean, you just look at what was going on there. The new council members, for the most part, said they would not back somebody who had taken drop money. But that was a convenient way to come around and support Councilman Clark to be the council president. I mean, he comes in with, you know, being truly an ally of former Mayor John Street, who Mayor Nutter won't say it directly, but, you know, has banged heads with over the years.
Which raises questions about Darrell Clark's relationship with Mayor Michael Nutter. I guess it's to be decided in the future, but that's important, is it not?
Well, on Monday, both of them said to me that we've discussed the situation and we've agreed to work together because the city has so many issues that need to move forward in the next year that there's no way for them to work against each other. At least that's what they say. Mm-hmm. And again, the question is, how will everybody play nice in City Hall?
Well, and they took pains during the inauguration on Monday to kind of make a public demonstration of the fact that they were willing to try cooperating. I mean, they both you know, gestured in that direction. And, you know, time will tell.
And afterwards, what people didn't see was they both had a joint meeting with the media in the orchestra pit at the Academy of Music, showing this nice face on the outside. But the question will be, when everybody comes together and starts, I mean, you know, the new council president in the last meeting of the council session proposed a number of new ways to bring in revenue, including advertising, you know, on city buildings.
Well, let me pick up on that. And that was an interesting proposal by Darrell Clark, now the president of City Council. As you said, Tom, selling advertising on city properties. Is that going to fly, do you think, Patrick?
Well, I can tell you there'll be staunch opposition from, you know, a number of quarters. I mean, Scrub, the sort of anti-blight group, has done tremendous work, and I have a hard time thinking that they're going to be thrilled with this idea. On the other hand, I
can tell you they're not.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked to Mary Tracy right when the idea was proposed, and they've said they will fight it with everything they have.
But I think what this gets to, Patrick, is that the city, like every city, every government, state, local government in this country, is looking for ways to raise money.
Yeah, and you know, and that'll be an issue again this year. I mean, that really has been the principal dividing, you know, issue between council and Mayor Nutter over the course of his first administration. You know, Mayor Nutter's gone to tax increases a number of different times, and actually Darrell Clark, the new council president, has been one of the people who's most resisted the increases, particularly on the property tax side. And so it's not surprising to me to see him look for, you know, alternate means to raise revenue.
Tom, how has council looked at Mayor Nutter, especially during his first term? How do they view him?
It hasn't necessarily been adversarial relationship, but they haven't really worked together going in the same direction. I mean, one of the things that is going to most likely rear its head again is the sugary drink tax. Okay, our own Dave Davies had a year-ending meeting with the mayor that we have on newsworks.org. You can watch the whole half-hour segment. And the mayor would not say that he isn't going back to the well to bring that sugary drink tax back again. And that's one thing the council has fought him against just tooth and nail. And, of course, there's been a big soda lobby out there that employs a lot of people in the city saying, we don't want this tax.
You see that as a big issue, Patrick?
Yeah, I mean, I think the mayor will have a really difficult time if he tries to bring that against. Not to say that he can't get it done. He got awfully, awfully close last time. But again, I don't know that the new council is going to vote all that differently than the old council, ultimately. You know, I think that the big problem Nutter had with the council was that he never built, you know, a block of votes that he could count on, you know, issue in and issue out. He was always trying to, you know, cobble together a coalition kind of depending on the issue. And that's a difficult thing to do for any mayor.
Would you say that John Street or even Ed Rendell were more successful doing that with council? Of course, different members of council, obviously different mayors of Philadelphia, but
right.
A more fruitful relationship?
Yeah, well, in the case of, you know, Mayor Rendell and Council President John Street, I mean, those two would work it out individually, and then John Street would ram it through council. You know, Mayor Street, you know, did, you know, for the first 6 years of his administration, at least have a firmer block on council, I think, than Mayor Nutter's had.
But Council President Verna, during her administration, really didn't push things. She wasn't that aggressive person that John Street was. John Street would wrangle up the votes and say, you're voting with me. And that just wasn't the way Council President Verna did things.
No.
She let the group be more free thinkers and form their own little coalitions within. And it just wasn't the same as when John Street ruled city council with an iron fist.
And she was more of a convener than a leader, I would say. And she might disagree with that. But that was really the way I saw her role. And I think that's what she prided herself on, was giving everybody a chance to, you know, participate.
She was kind of like the school teacher. I mean, she stood up there and acted almost like the teacher who was wrangling children in the classroom.
Absolutely.
Right, and not the substitute teacher, but the real teacher.
Right.
Right. But I wonder if it's too soon, Tom, to know how Darrell Clark will operate as the new president of Philadelphia City Council. Is it too soon?
I think we have to give it a budget.
Oh.
You start the budget process almost immediately when council resumes. The mayor will come in, make his budget presentation, and then we will see how the sides work. Is everybody going to go behind the mayor and support his budget, or is everybody going to go and find their little corner of the world and make a section for themselves that they're going to carve out? And that's going to be what the second term of the mayor is going to be. You're going to look at a lot of people trying to make their spot in the world, and you've got six people who have to, you know, show what they do.
You want to add to that, Patrick?
Yeah, that's right. Well, you have you know, at least one very clear mayoral candidate in city council in Councilman Bill Green, and there might be others. And politics being what they are these days, it's not going to be that long before, you know, attention turns to the next mayoral election. So, it'll be interesting to see how Council President Clark, you know, manages that. I think that he'll try and chart a course somewhere between Council President Verna and Council President Street. You know, not school ma'am, but not the iron fist either.
Well, we are talking about politics Philly style with Patrick Kirkstra and Tom McDonald, and we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. What do you want your elected representatives to do in the city of Philadelphia? Give us a call, 1-888-477-WHYY. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Philadelphia Orchestra supports WHYY. The Philadelphia Orchestra invites you to immerse yourself in the genius of Beethoven all through January, beginning with Beethoven's Fifth under David Zinman. For your tickets, philorc.org or at 215-893-1999. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Kimmel Center, the January Beethoven celebration begins. The Fifth Symphony with the Philadelphia Orchestra.
This week in This American Life. At an apartment complex in New Hampshire, tenants' dogs were leaving doggy waste everywhere until the property manager took action.
When one of my maintenance guys is walking through the door, he knows exactly what he'll be doing when he hears this.
What he'll be doing is taking a DNA sample of the errant poo this week.
Tonight at 9 on WHYY.
If you were fortunate enough to get a shiny new smartphone over the holidays and you've been busy downloading countless apps and uploading all your contacts, beware. That smartphone could be spying on you. We'll find out what personal information is being collected and what you can do to stop it so that you can go back to playing Fruit Ninja. That's next time on Tell Me More.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowane. Six new members of Philadelphia City Council, along with 11 others who were reelected, were sworn into office on Monday. Mayor Michael Nutter, who was elected for a second term in November, delivered a sober speech about some of the challenges that the city faces. Daryl Clark is the new president of City Council. There's a new sheriff in town, Jewel Williams, and along with two new city commissioners. We're talking about what all this means with our guest, Tom McDonald, WHYY's a government reporter covering Philadelphia City Hall, and Patrick Kirkstra, a Philadelphia-based freelance reporter. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. If you live or work in Philadelphia, what do you want its government to do? Let me get Anthony from Germantown to join us. And Anthony, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm just a little furious about this drop money thing and how people can still come back to city council when you work for the city of Philadelphia, and we don't have that option, and we pay into our retirement plans as well. And you know, I'm just a little frustrated about that. I'm hoping it's not going to be pushed under the rug, and that's something to be done. The second thing is, I hope that they. The new people and the old cronies who've been in city council change their paradigm, shift the way that they've been thinking about politics over the last several decades, and allow the new people to come in and raise new ideas and be open to it.
Well, Anthony, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. And Patrick, let me give you a chance to weigh in on that. And we had talked about some of the frustration among the public in Philadelphia about this drop program. And Anthony includes himself on that list.
Right. And I think that it's important to say that, you know, City Council did pass legislation that will prevent, you know, future council members from doing the kind of thing that Councilwoman Tasco just did. So, you know, it's not an option available to this latest, newest class of council members. So there's that. But, I mean, I understand the frustration. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's there have been a very small select number of, you know, non-elected city employees who retired and did come back. So there have been a few exceptions made. But, you know, by and large, that's been an option that only council has had.
Well, and Tom, I also hear in Anthony's question a frustration with the political system. I think it's across the country. We see how people look at the U.S. Congress, and a kind of frustration that we have a political system that is not responsive to the needs and desires of the people.
Well, and this was a good example of the Get the Bums Out movement, where you have six people out, the largest shift in decades in Philadelphia City Council. And, you know, with the exception of Councilman Rizzo, who was voted out, the rest of them knew that the public sentiment was against them and decided to take the, you know, route of retiring politely. And, you know, Councilman Rizzo was voted out, and, you know, with the exception of that. But I think a definite message was sent by the voters last year to Philadelphia politicians.
Which is, yeah, go ahead, Patrick.
Well, I think the caller makes the interesting point that there is an opportunity with new council members to do some new things. And we saw that, you know, 4 years ago. I mean, the three members of council that were elected 4 years ago, Councilman Curtis Jones Jr., Maria Quinones Sanchez, and Bill Green, have all had individually and also together, you know, a pretty big impact and done some impressive things, and then really, you know, jolted council back to life, in my opinion.
Let me get Anthony. Thanks for the call. Let's see what Stacy from Bryn Mawr has to say. And Stacy, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hey, Marty.
Hey there.
I was wondering if the guests could comment on the executive leadership style of the mayor versus the president, notwithstanding racial identification. I know that council is not Congress, and the mayor and the president have different parameters around how they function, but I'm interested in the relationship between the legislature and the executive.
That's an interesting question, Stacey. Can I toss that back to you, Patrick?
Sure. I mean, several people have compared President Obama and Mayor Nutter, and sort of the great promise and expectations that people had when they took office, you know, and a certain measure of disappointment, this many years in. And there are certainly some similarities, but I think probably the biggest one that they've got is, you know, governing in extraordinarily difficult times. And, you know, having to work out really unpopular sort of sort of solutions, especially in Mayor Nutter's case, because, you know, unable to go into debt, the city's had to raise taxes to get through this period. So I would say that's the single largest kind of point of comparison between the two.
And just picking up on that, Tom, comparing Nutter's speech on Monday and the speech he gave 4 years ago when he was elected for the first time, he had to really scale back what he hoped for the city.
Well, focusing on the major problems. I mean, you know, focusing on bringing children through the educational process and making the streets safe. Those two are his, you know, major topics, and he's enforcing them. Yesterday he went to a Promise Academy in Philadelphia. Today he's heading to Point Breeze to check on the secure angle of it. And the mayor is going to work on those two things to make sure that the quality of life issues just continue to improve during the Nutter administration.
And the, you know, the other sort of virtue of those two issues is that, you know, they don't require as much cooperation with council as some other things might, right? So, you know, the school district is a separate entity. So, you know, with the exception of getting extra money for the school district, which is a big deal, the mayor can kind of work independently of council on the schools issue, and also to a large degree with crime.
Well, and he does, Tom, get to appoint two people to the SRC, to the School Reform Commission, which he did recently.
Right.
But the mayor doesn't run the city schools.
Correct. The state runs the city schools,
exactly.
And there doesn't seem to be any change in that coming down the road. And the city needs the state money to be able to keep the schools open. And with that, with those two issues going on, the city really has to be beholden to the state.
Yeah, and that's certainly true, that the state does run the schools. But I think we've seen over the last year, you know, with the departure of Arlene Ackerman and you know, the sort of new tone that the SRC has taken since the mayor's put new people in, as well as Governor Corbett, that the mayor does have the ability to influence what schools do. I mean, perhaps more than he likes to publicly acknowledge. I mean, the district does respond to, you know, intense political pressure.
Let me raise one more question, then we'll get back to our callers. And this has to do with two new Republicans on City Council, David O. and Dennis O'Brien. And Patrick, Dennis O'Brien spent 17 terms in Harrisburg as a state representative, a time as Speaker of the House, and here he is in Philadelphia City Council.
Yeah, and you know, the change in the Republican members of councils, I think, pretty interesting and pretty profound. They were a fairly isolated bunch over these last 4 years. That could change. Councilman O has a lot of ideas. Councilman O'Brien, you know, has a really high profile, you know, compared to, say, Councilman Kelly, who he's really replacing, who, you know, didn't bring a lot legislatively to the table apart from certain protections for pets.
nothing so, wrong with that.
Nothing right? wrong with that. But, you know, he wasn't seen as, you know, one of the great contributors to council. And I think there's a real possibility that we could see some interesting legislation and, you know, maybe some different ideas about how the city ought to be run from this, you know, invigorated group of Republicans.
Well, and Tom, I'm wondering whether Dennis O'Brien, having been in the legislature for so long and being a Republican, and of course we have a Republican legislature and a Republican governor, whether that might help the city?
Well, the question is, can you have Harrisburg bring more money down, and can you have somebody with those type of contacts? The bigger question with him is, you know, is he going to bring home the bacon? The Republican,
not a lot of bacon to bring home,
yeah,
is there?
The Republican legislature, Philadelphia is the pariah of the state in Harrisburg. I mean, they really don't want to send another nickel to Philadelphia. Bringing Dennis O'Brien in brings the experience, brings the legislative capability, bringing money. I've never seen a city councilman, and Patrick, you know, ever
shaking your head no,
no
right?
ever
no.
be able to influence people in Harrisburg, especially when there are only three city councilmen. And I mean, Brian O'Neill had a hard-fought battle to maintain his one district slot. There are two guaranteed by the city charter, and Bill Rubin gave Brian O'Neill the race of his career the last time around.
And that's Tom McDonald. If that voice sounds familiar to you, it's because you listen to WHYY. He's WHYY's government reporter. He covers Philadelphia City Hall, something he's been doing for many years. He also contributes to WHYY's NewsWorks website and to NewsWorks Tonight's nightly newscast, which you can hear at 6 o'clock here on WHYY. Patrick Kirkstra also with us. He's a Philadelphia-based freelance reporter. He's a guest columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He also covers special projects for Plan Philly, and he's writer at large and a blogger for Philadelphia Magazine. And yes, we are talking about Philadelphia, its politics, the various challenges, and some of the new leadership and some of the challenges facing Mayor Michael Nutter, who was reelected in November. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. What do you want your local government to do? Let me see what Dwayne from the Northeast has to say. Dwayne, you're on Radio Times. Go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, indeed. Go ahead.
Okay. I was wondering if your guest could explain what I've sometimes seen references to, which is it goes under the name of something like council person's prerogative, whereby a council person will want legislation that affects only his or her district, and everybody else on the council seems to defer to that desire.
It's a good question. Dwayne, can I toss that to you, Tom?
Sure. If a council person has a development project, for example, within their district, they're the only ones that can move it forward. Now, people have gone around that in the past, but very, very rarely. And it's the person who is the district councilman, supposedly knows the most about their district, and can control that district. I mean, right up until the end, Councilman Frank DiCicco was controlling a billboard ordinance for his district that would have put an enormous billboard on the side of a building that was completely opposed by, let's say, the majority of the people in the area. But he felt it was good. He got support for it. And that was council prerogative.
Dwayne, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Patrick, let me toss something to you having to do with Mayor Michael Nutter. He's got some union contracts, I guess, to negotiate, something he's been pushing off, I guess, during that first term. Is he going to have to come to some kind of agreement with the white and blue-collar union?
Well, I would certainly think so. Although, you know, what the Nutter people will say is that it's been something of a game of rope-a-dope here, and that by not reaching deals with the unions, they've been saving money because they're not paying higher and higher salaries. And that's true, but what hasn't been dealt with are, you know, those real big costs of pensions and health care, which, the mayor has acknowledged many, many times, you know, are massive problems for the city, not just in the long run now. You know, I would think that it would be something he'd be interested in addressing as part of his legacy.
Well, the pension situation is a bloody rhinoceros in the corner.
Well, we're talking about $4.5 billion shortfall, right?
And basically, you're paying for people who worked 30 years ago with today's money, and the numbers just aren't going to equate. The mayor is trying to move the city employees to more of a 401k-based system like most people have, but the city employees argue that a pension system is why they signed on to be a city employee. And there are already multiple steps within the current system for those who have been hired over the years. And they want to add another step for those who are hired newly to move them away from pensions and more to a retirement savings plan.
And that will be the central issue in any contract negotiation.
And is the city hiring people? Are people being hired?
There is limited hiring going on. I mean, there's going to be a new class of police that are coming in. And, you know, you've got police and firefighters constantly retiring, so you've got to replace them. And with that, you know, there was negotiated contracts that are still being fought with the firefighters union. They negotiate by arbitration, but then the city opposed the arbitrator's award, saying it was too expensive. Right. So that is still going on, and the outcome of that could have an influence on the blue and white collar unions.
But there has been attrition. I mean, the city workforce is smaller now than it was 4 years ago.
Let me get to Andrew from Pineville. Then I do want to talk about property assessments. So hang on, and let's see what Andrew has to say. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Well, hello, and my wife and I bought an apartment on Rittenhouse Square about 4 years ago and are totally delighted with the city. Not to say I'm disgusted with the politics, because politics is everywhere, and we see it in Washington all the time. Will they get along? Like, for example, the issue of no trash cans in the city is really kind of putting a bad face on things. And there's no place to throw anything out. the Center City District we pay to clean up, and is the city council able to do anything about that, or is it only Michael Mutter and Rena Cutler?
And we're talking about trash cans in Philadelphia, right? And
yeah, there are none.
Well, okay.
Well, I mean, outside of the Center City area, there isn't a trash can on your corner because, you know, it would cost too much to pay the city workers to empty those. You'd have to have more people to empty those trash cans, plus people would use them as an easy receptacle for household trash as opposed to doing it once a week and throwing away. You could just take it down to the corner trash can. Hmm. Trash can gets filled up, streets get dirty.
Is that true, Patrick?
Yeah, I mean, it's a cost issue.
This seems like a solvable problem to me, but maybe not.
It's a cost issue, and you know, and I've not heard Councilman Clark say this, but it's an interesting idea in terms of putting ads on city properties or city assets, for instance. I mean, you could, in theory, you know, fund collection of new trash cans by putting ads on those trash cans. So, I mean, it's an operational issue that would really belong to Mayor Nutter and. Council gets involved in lots of things, so it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Andrew, thanks for the call. Yeah, go ahead.
And even at one time, there was talk about public toilets in the city supported by advertising.
Right.
And, you know, that went by the wayside. I mean, I remember the demonstration vehicle at City Hall, which was very nice. Self-cleaning.
What do you know about that? Well, let's talk about property assessments. And both of you have said, and others have said as well, and I'll toss this to you, Patrick, which is this is, I guess, the key issue facing city government.
Well, I expect it to be sort of the biggest political story of the year. And basically what's going to happen is this year, we're in 2012 now, most every resident in Philadelphia is going to see a very large change in their property tax bill. Some will see declines, but a lot will see increases, in some cases really, really, really big increases. And that's not due to a property tax increase per se, but to a citywide reassessment of the values of all the properties in the city. The reassessment's badly needed. The assessments are wildly out of whack, some of the worst in the country. So it's good that that's happening, but the political shock, I expect, will be pretty enormous as people, you know, open up their tax bills and see, you know, guess what, I'm supposed to pay 50, 100, even 200% more than I've been paying. And that's going to happen in tens of thousands of cases.
And Tom, are there neighborhoods where that might be more common than others, or is it just...
Well, a lot of these up-and-coming neighborhoods, you look at the neighborhoods like the Fishtown area and, you know, the Northern Liberties area, the places that have come up over the years, plus all the people who have improved their properties and improved them significantly. People are going to have to pay for those improvements because people are physically going out and viewing every property in the city. The goal is to try and keep things on an even keel, but people are, you know, have done a lot of things to their homes.
And Patrick, one of the things that you wrote is that there are 100,000 tax delinquent properties in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is about 20% of the properties are tax delinquent.
Yeah, it's 19% of every property in the city of Philadelphia is tax delinquent. In some cases, you know, many years, even decades, tax delinquent. And this has been a problem for a long time, a really poor collection of past due property taxes. In fact, you know, the story I worked on found that it's the worst of any big city by far, really, in terms of a collection of these past due debts. And that's because the city has historically been pretty reluctant to auction off tax delinquent properties at sheriff sale.
And we have a new sheriff in town, and I do want to take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation talking about Philadelphia politics, the challenges facing the city, the opportunities as well. And our guests are Patrick Kirkstra, the voice you just heard, and Tom McDonald. And just a couple open lines at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. If you live or work in Philly, what do you want the city to do? Give us a call. We'll be right back.
The Violette DeMazia Foundation supports WHYY. Are you an art lover? The Violette DeMazia Foundation teaches ways to appreciate works of art wherever you may encounter them. Registration is now open for a variety of programs focusing on visual art at various locations, including the Philadelphia Museum of Art, Chester County Historical Society, and the Wayne Art Center. Classes are appropriate for anyone interested in discovering a different way to see art and life. Registration at www.demazia.org.
The Showtime series Californication begins its new season this weekend. On The Next Fresh Air, we talk with one of the show's stars, Pamela Adlon. She's also played a recurring character on Louis C.K.'s series Louie. She was the voice of the 12-year-old boy, Bobby Hill, on King of the Hill, and has done the voices for lots of other animated characters. Join us this afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. You might have a hard time booking a flight from Iowa to New Hampshire. We'll get the latest as the candidates head east and south. Also, singer Betty Wright, the force behind J-Lo and so many others. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, talking about Philadelphia politics with Tom McDonald. He's WHYY's government reporter. He covers Philadelphia City Hall. And Patrick Kirkstra, a Philadelphia-based freelance reporter. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. There is a new sheriff in town, Tom. Jewel Williams won. And picking up, I guess, on what Patrick was talking about, what does the sheriff do in Philadelphia?
The sheriff's job is twofold. He is in charge of prisoner transportation to and from court, and also the what we most know the sheriff for is the sheriff's sales. When somebody owes money against a property and there's a lien, the sheriff is brought in to sheriff off those properties. And that was the problem with the former sheriff, John Green.
John Green. Who had been there for
several terms and is now his office at that time was the subject of a federal investigation. There's been four people facing charges now, one who was in the sheriff's office. And for the last year, Barbara Dealey has been working to try and restore confidence in the office, something that Jewel Williams says that he wants to do to reestablish people's faith in the sheriff's sale process and in the whole sheriff's office in general.
And Patrick, this gets us back to those 100,000 properties that are tax delinquent.
Yeah, it does to a point. My reporting found that really the sort of backlog on selling off the tax delinquent properties, you know, occurred before it got to the sheriff's office. It was really something happening within mayoral administrations, a reluctance to bring a lot of these properties to the sheriff to be sold off. You know, but the massive record-keeping problems in the sheriff's office and the ancient computer systems they're using slow down everything and really, you know, and undermine confidence that the properties are being sold, the ones that should be sold even.
Well, the new sheriff, Jewel Williams, has hired some people, Tom?
Yeah, he brought in Ben Halyer, who was ran the Philadelphia Gas Works for a while and also was a finance director during the Rendell administration. And he kept Joe Vignola, the former city controller, who was working with Barbara Dealey to clean up the office. He is now undersheriff, and Joe Vignola is an attorney, so that's part of his qualifications to be undersheriff. And it's supposedly a new team that's going to go in there, and Williams says he wants to restore confidence in the office, and people are going to give him a chance, I think, and see what he can do and how he can do it.
You had a story this morning, and the mayor was quoted saying something about one of these hires, Tom.
He said Ben Haler is the man who brought drop to the city.
Is that true?
It is true, and you know, people in the City Hall press corps, when reminded of that, thought that that was a very interesting line for the mayor to say, because that was the one thing he said in a brief hallway confrontation. I don't want to say confrontation, meeting with the press about the hirings.
Interesting. There are also two new city commissioners, Patrick. Why is that significant? And I guess who's gone?
Well, it's significant for a couple of reasons. The city commissioners are the group of elected officials that run elections in the city of Philadelphia. The commissioners have run, I think, a pretty old-fashioned operation here in Philadelphia, and the two new commissioners are talking about sort of bringing, you know, the city into the 21st century with, you know, much more robust online vote totals and that sort of thing. But it's really more significant because it's the sunsetting of March Tartaglione, who is, you know, kind of a legendary political figure and very colorful and a lot of fun, but
but certainly colorful.
But certainly colorful, very controversial award leader, and you know, her departure, her defeat at the hands of a real sort of reform minded candidate in Stephanie Singer is pretty significant. On the Republican side, you've got Al Schmidt, who is interesting in as much as, you know, he's part of the reform wing of the Republican Party, of the city Republican Party, and his victory, you know, really suggests that the reformists in the Republican Party have got the upper hand, or are close to getting the upper hand in that sort of internal party fight.
Tom, Stephanie Singer called into Radio Times. We were interviewing the Republican in Pennsylvania looking to institute voter ID,
right,
and, you know, took on this person in Harrisburg, and looks like she's willing to fight for this particular issue.
Well, the voter ID issue in Philadelphia is a very interesting one, because people say that they don't need to show ID, that the judge of elections and the people who keep the votes are the ones who know these people. They see them every election and along that line. And producing photo ID is sometimes difficult for people, especially the older electorate, who are the people who vote in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the younger people don't vote.
Does everyone have a Marge Tartaglione story that has covered Philadelphia City Council?
I think the Marge Tartaglione story is a general ruled by iron fist and fiat. I mean, she was a person who, when she ran the meetings. Mm-hmm. You know, she would call on deputies only to speak when spoken to. And it was always interesting when you went to a Marge meeting.
You're being very careful about that, Tom. And a great husky, smoky voice, right,
Patrick? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, she was, you know, the leader of the Boom Boom Sisters, which is a term from a famous Steve Lopez column from many years ago. She's just been a fixture for a long time.
And she's out of here. Let me get back to our callers at 1-888-477-9499. If you live or work in Philadelphia, what do you want elected representatives to do? Let's see what Bob from Winmore has to say. And Bob, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty.
Hi there.
I've got a question about Bobby Heenan and his ties with Johnny Dock and the Electrical Union, and how independent is he actually going to be in doing things in City Council? One of your earlier callers talked about throw the bums out and the new slate sweeps clean, but I'm wondering how clean that's part of the slate's going
to
be.
Well, it's a good question. Can I toss that to you, Tom?
Sure. It's to be determined. I mean, you've got to see how Councilman Heenan legislates. I mean, he was the Electricians Union's political director. I mean, towards the end, he was put on as the political director in TV commercials for the Electricians Union to give him a little extra visibility. You know, there were questions about that, and how often did people know who Bob Heenan was when John Dougherty was the face of the Electricians Union, and Dougherty defended his moves. And, you know, it will be something to watch. I mean, Bob Heenan will have a spotlight on him, and he will be under the microscope, especially when an issue involving the Electricians Union comes up in council.
Yeah, Patrick, you want to add to that?
Yeah, well, I think it's worth noting that it's not just Bobby Heenan, and this is something I was trying to get at earlier. I mean, many of the new council members, you know, have allegiances, affiliations with sort of traditional power bases. I mean, Cindy Bass, for instance, you know, is a former aide to Congressman Chaka Fattah, and the Fattah organization is, you know, a big force in Philadelphia politics. So, but I do think Tom's right. It's difficult to you can't prejudge and say whether or not someone is their own council person or not. I mean, Bill Green certainly has been quite independent seeming, and you know, he's got a very close relationship with John Dougherty as well. So I don't know, the fact that he's backed by Dougherty means that he won't be his own council person.
But time will certainly tell on that.
Absolutely.
Score. Thanks for the call. Let's see what Frank from South Philadelphia has to say. Frank, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yeah, I was just wondering if your panel had any reactions, or if there's been any results from Mayor Nutter's stop and frisk program from the first session, first term, and then also if any of the new council members have any feelings towards that, whether they're going to continue that or change it in any way.
I'm looking at you, Patrick. You, Tom, are you up to speed on that?
It's more, I think, the police commissioner's decision, because that is his decision to go through that and continue any sort of police policies. And nobody really has been overly upset about it as far as I've seen. I mean, there have been people who have complained that it is biased and goes along that line, but there hasn't been any proof to it.
Well, it hasn't been a big political issue in the last round of council races, or if it was, I missed it. But it was there has been definitely, and I'm grasping for the numbers, but the vast majority of people who were pulled over or who were searched and frisked, you know, were overwhelmingly African American and Latino. It was the basis of a lawsuit filed in part by Jewel Williams, our new sheriff, who himself was pulled over and was subject
and
to
and who settled
and who settled who settled. But you know, it was an issue and remains an issue, I think, for you know a large number of Philadelphians. And you know, for a time, certainly, I don't know if this is as much the case now, but it was one of the issues that was giving Mayor Nutter some real problems in the African-American community.
Frank, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Something that Mayor Nutter talked about and has talked about before is the high rate of crime in Philadelphia. I think among the top 10 cities, the highest rate of crime. Do I have that right, Patrick?
Highest homicide rate.
Homicide rate. Which, of course, is troublesome and concerning on just about all levels. And you could tie that to a number of other different issues as well. It's a big challenge, I think, for all elected officials in this city.
Sure. I mean, and Mayor Nutter, without you know giving a lot of specifics, said that there'd be some sort of a gun initiative coming this year. You know, obviously, he's got an incredibly popular and seemingly effective police chief in Commissioner Ramsey. There will be, you know, 120 new officers, brought on this year. I think it's fair to say that it's been, you know, huge emphasis for the administration the whole time. At a certain point, you begin to wonder what more can be done without putting 1,000 new officers on the street.
Well, plus, in Pennsylvania, the gun laws are state-based as opposed to city-based, and there's not a lot the city can do with the gun laws.
Let me see what Marie from Fishtown has to say. Marie, go ahead. You are on Radio Times. There we go. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm a mother of a young 2-year-old, and I've one on the way, and I've noticed a lot of young parents, young families moving into the area. And I've also noticed a lot of young parents that want to stay but choose to leave the city because of the school district. How do you think city council can change the school district to keep young families here, because we want to live in a city, we want to be here, we want to raise our children here, but school districts are the reason why we leave.
Well, and this is even beyond city council, Tom. I mean, this is something that the mayor is taking on as well.
The mayor is going to Denver on Thursday, tomorrow, to look at how they have their system working with the charter schools, the special academies, and the public schools to try and make everybody bring their game up. And the mayor says this is his priority, and he wants to make this happen. I mean, his goal is to make more people, you know, only 1 in 10 graduates of Philadelphia high schools graduate college. And that's a scary number for Philadelphia, and that's something the mayor wants to change.
And he talks about reform, restructure, replace for low-performing schools, Patrick.
Yeah, he does. But I think the caller raises an interesting point about – I do think there's a large number of parents who want to stay, and maybe that wasn't the case 10, 15, 20 years ago. It was kind of a given that for a lot of folks with means to leave the city once they had school-aged children. And I think that's beginning to sort of sink into the political consciousness a little bit. I think the success of the Penn Alexander School, which is the University of Pennsylvania-sponsored school in West Philadelphia, has shown that, you know, a quality school can have a huge transformative effect on a neighborhood. And, you know, while education is not council's, you know, first responsibility, I think that that issue of is beginning to sink in, that there are people who want to stay in the city who maybe wouldn't have before, and that education's the big barrier for them.
And Tom, is it too soon to start talking about who wants to be mayor of Philadelphia? I know Michael Nutter was just sworn in, but nonetheless.
Well, technically, from now on, he's a lame duck. I mean, and there are people already, I don't want to say sharpening their knives, but they're preparing. I mean, I think it's no secret that Bill Green is talking about it, and there are some other people who are trying to quietly prepare.
Can you name names, or is it too soon to say?
I'll name names.
Go ahead, Patrick. Go ahead, name some names.
I mean, you hear about City Control Alan Butkovitz being interested. You hear about State Senator Anthony Williams. You hear about District Attorney Seth Williams. It's not wildly inconceivable to me that Darrell Clark could be interested, particularly if there was a scenario where Mayor Nutter didn't finish his term, and in which case, Darrell Clark would be elevated to mayor for a short time. So, there's any number of people, and I'm sure that others who are considering it that I haven't named, but those are the names you hear most often.
Well, you've got to find a Republican candidate, too, and the whole new Republican move could be creating a candidate who could run.
Well, and this is a largely Democratic city, Tom.
Right.
I mean, there is a small Republican Party, and it seems like there are divisions within that party as well.
Right, and I think we're going to see a change in the leadership of the Republican Party, which has been dominated by the Meehan family for generations. I think we're going to see something happening either this year or next, at least before the next election cycle.
Do you think so as well?
Yeah, I do. And really, the key issue is that so the Meehan Republican Party has kind of been an accommodationist party. They're, recognizing the fact that they're massively outnumbered, the interest has been, getting what they can kind of from the spoil system. And the sort of reformers within the party, want it to be more party of ideas. They want to field candidates even when they know they're going to lose. They want to bring some of the two-partiness back to Philadelphia.
Instead of just putting up sacrificial lambs.
Exactly.
Are we talking Karen Brown here?
You said that. I didn't.
Well, are we?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Karen Brown was a Democrat who was recruited to switch parties at the last moment. I mean, and, Al Taubenberger, who actually had a decent run for city council this last time around, ran as a mayor. And he was more Michael Nutter's friend than his opponent.
Oh, yeah. He complimented Mayor Nutter more
than most Democrats.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, my thanks to both of you for joining us today in Radio Times. Thank you so much. I always learn a lot when we do shows like this. Tom McDonald is a you're welcome, WHYY's government reporter. He covers Philadelphia City Hall, contributes to WHYY's NewsWorks website, and to NewsWorks Tonight. That's the nightly newscast that you can hear at 6 o'clock here at WHYY. Patrick Kirkstra, thank you very much as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Philadelphia-based freelance reporter, guest columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer, covers projects for Plan Philly, and writer-in-large and blogger for Philadelphia Magazine. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times. The show is produced by Susan Greenbaum, Patty Leswing, Dennis Devine, and Debbie Builder. I'm Marty Moscoane. Thank you so much for joining us.